It's a joy to be with you tonight, and I'm so enjoying this time here in Norfolk. And thank you so much for making Heather and I so welcome. We do find ourselves among you because God spoke to us, and we're very, very grateful. And I hope that all the days of our lives we will keep following and responding to God. The real hero of the story is actually my dear wife, Heather, who has followed me so many times. So thank you so much. Well done. Thank you so much. We've been through the mill together, and she just continues to amaze me with her faith in God. I want to bring you a word tonight that I've carried in my heart for the last few weeks, and if not even longer, for fusion as I sought the Lord. And I'm so grateful. You might not be aware that when we do ask people to come and speak here, it is not our way to say to the various preachers what they should speak on. We really do trust them and ask them to seek God. And it's been wonderful to sit through all the sessions so far and to see how the different words are almost underpinning the next one. And it is quite tough preaching at these times, because so often things are said and you think, that was my main point. But we live with that and realize that it's God who's wanting to massage things into us as we go forward. And so I want to bring you this word, what do you have in your hand? And it's from the parable of the talents. And even as we heard Iona now, she said, it's just God's put in my hand. She told us about this day in November when she sat in this meeting. Me? Yes, this is who you'd have to gather. These are the people you'd have to lead. Me? And it's a God-given opportunity that gets placed in our hand. But if you have your Bible open, won't you go to Matthew 25? And the parable of the talents is one of three parables that you could put under the heading of watch. In other words, be prepared. And Jesus told these near the end of his ministry. But carrying on and talking about the kingdom of God, he says in verse 14, "For it will be like a man going on a journey, who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To each according to his ability. And then he went away. He who received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them and made 5 talents more. And so he also who had 2 talents made 2 talents more. But the one who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also, who had 2 talents, came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have 2 talents more.' And his master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a little, and I will set you over much. Enter the joy of your master.' He also, who had received the 1 talent, came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I have been afraid. I was afraid. What sobering words. So I was afraid. And I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." A very sobering parable. And I've lived with these three guys for quite some time, these three servants. Maybe they weren't guys, or I suppose it does say he, so they would have been. I've lived with them for a while. As I've considered all that God is placing in our hands, at times it feels that the weight of responsibility is too large for such a young movement. There are times where Heather will tell you, I've said to her, "Heather, I didn't sign up for this," the words I've used. "This is not what we expected." And you feel the weight of what God is entrusting. In 2014, I read the most wonderful book. Because you see, at times, God calls out individuals. We heard of some right now. He's called out an Iona or a Donna. Sometimes it's a Gandhi. Sometimes a Mandela. Other people like that. Individuals who entrust great things to. And says, "Change a nation." How grateful we are for them. A Churchill here. I'm a great Churchill fan in many ways. Philip to Samaria. John Patton to the South Sea Islands. You could go on and on. One of the banners out here actually says, "You." God calls out individuals. And other times he calls out the Davids and Eleazars, little teams, Paul and Barnabas, where they're given great tasks and entrusted great things, opening up the Gentile world. But then other times he calls a people group just like us. A people group just like us. And he gives us an opportunity. He gives us a chance to play our part in this great story, the great narrative of God. We join the Abrahams. We join the Hudson Taylors. We join all those great cloud of witnesses who say he is faithful. And we play our part. Many of you have heard me say and share with you a meeting I had with Andrew van den Bale, Brother Andrew. Because sometimes you meet these people in the flesh, people who've done such great things, and you listen and you think, wow. And when you ask them, do you regret giving yourself to God in that way? Do you regret paying the price you paid? But you never hear it when you listen to Donna's letter today. I don't know if you heard any regrets. I didn't. There's just this belief, I've called for this. It's a great joy. Brother Andrew, I remember saying to him, "Would you do anything differently?" And he said, "Young man, I wish I could have been more radical." Many of you have heard me tell the story. I mean, I sat there and I thought, oh, Lord, I don't need to tell you that I felt so insignificant at that moment in time. You know, leading a movement, wow. And then you listen to that. And he said, "I wish I'd been more radical." We are gathered here because God has called us to a great task. 2.5 years ago, God said to me, "I'm going to hand pick people for this task and join them to you." And I stand amazed. I sit there in the front row and I watch all these things going on. I watch all the people. I think everyone is selected by God and brought here and added in because we've got this great task together and we cannot do it alone. And we too will look back in wonder in the years to come. But the question we will need to ask is, what will we be remembered for? Don't know if you ask yourself that question. I do a lot. Because it guards your heart. 2014 or somewhere there, the movie Lincoln came out. And I didn't know a great deal about American history. It's not something we were taught. But I'd heard quite a bit about Lincoln, so I went to see this film. In fact, I couldn't wait for it to come out because I saw the trailer and I thought, that looks good. It's not everybody's cup of tea. But when you get the opportunity to fellowship with a great leader, I always take it as much as I can. And watching Lincoln handle such a delicate situation as the emancipation of slavery in his own nation, I was just in awe of it. And then I realized that it was based on a book. So I went and bought the book, and I'm not much of a book guy, I'm afraid. Give me a golf club or a football or something like that. And this book arrived, and I thought, oh my good heavens, this can kill a bear at 100 meters. But over 2.5 months, I worked through it. It was no trouble at all. As I saw how this man got before God, how he saw his simplicity, his weaknesses, not as something that undermined who he was, but all it did, it reminded him that he needed other people to produce a great nation. He laughed at himself. He wrote letters that when you read them, it makes you cry. I could tell you so many stories, but then I came across the story of this man, General B. McClellan. It shocked me. It was at the time of the American Civil War, 1861, and the North were under great pressure. They were being outgeneraled on every front, and people were actually fleeing Washington because they thought it was going to be taken very shortly. And the pressure that Lincoln comes under is, well, for me, is unbearable when you read the things that are happening. But to his rescue came this young general. McClellan came with all the credentials of success. He was the youngest man ever to be accepted into West Point, the officers' training college, school, whatever they called it. 15 years old. And not only did he succeed, but he came second in his group. Only because he was lousy at drawing maps. But one thing they noticed about this young man was his ability to gather people. Wherever he went, he was able to get people to do things. A skill of leadership, a deep, deep gift of leadership. He was an outstanding influence and organizer, and men gathered to him that he became known as the young Napoleon. And if you look at that picture, you'll see he even stands like him. I looked for a picture of him. I was shocked how many pictures this guy had taken of himself. This good-looking general seemed to have everything in place. He even designed his own uniform. He changed the whole look of how the army would be. And the army that was 50,000 troops strong soon grew to 168,000 men prepared for battle. The press were buzzing with expectation and hope, and confidence grew with such a buzz that Lincoln made him general-in-chief of the entire Northern Army. Extraordinary success in a few months. But shortly thereafter, they were very badly beaten. Not his army, but one of the other armies linked to the North. General McClellan, His fellow Union General Pope was taken out in what was known as the final bull run, if my memory serves me well. And one of the reasons he failed is because General McClellan was supposed to come to his aid and they were supposed to work together. But because McClellan felt that Pope was rising faster in the ranks than himself, he held his army back and they faced dreadful defeat. Things started to go wrong. You see, in spite of looking the part, there was one problem with that young leader. He didn't like to fight. He didn't like to fight. And I'm sitting with this book. I'm wading my way through. I'm reading the story. And I start to see the church. I start to see the church of our age, where you see churches spring up, 1,000, 2,000, 4,000, 10,000. And then no sooner you hear another leader falling by the wayside. Brothers and sisters, generals are meant to fight. Generals are meant to fight. But equally so, as we heard from Ray earlier today, we too as the church are meant to step up and play our part in making Jesus famous in our nation and the nations of the world. A dear friend, a father in many ways, Simon Pettit, who served us so wonderfully in Southern Africa until his untimely death, for us, that is, used to say to us, the context of the Christian life is that of warfare. Never forget that. The context of the Christian life is that of warfare. And it got in my spirit. And I was caught up in it. And very soon, I gave myself to going to the front lines of church planting. Because I believe that's the call upon us. That is the call that we have. But now as I look, I see that at times we're so well trained, possibly much more than those who went and opened Antioch. We have so much. We spend so much time organizing and reorganizing. Sadly, even following the latest church trends. Always trying to be relevant and acceptable. Better buildings, better lighting, better sound, better websites. And there's nothing wrong with that. I love that. I love doing things well. Except if we stop taking ground as a result. Except if we forget to fight. In my nation of South Africa, when I was a teenager growing up and came to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, standing next to this lovely young lady, Heather Carney, we both gave our lives in the same morning. I think the Reverend Roger Vokes scared us to death that morning. And as I stood there, I realized God had changed so much. But you know what? We didn't fight in South Africa. We didn't fight for what's right. The churches were silent. We were preaching the gospel, seeing people saved. But there was such oppression in our nation, such disadvantage, some advantage so much over others of the same nation. You know the story. Praise God that He raised up Mandela. We didn't fight. The church didn't fight. And eventually we had to stand up, meeting after meeting, I can remember, over the years, and apologize and say, we weren't there. Just as we heard a moment ago, tomorrow it'll be about abortion, but slavery. We know so many stories about slavery. In the centuries before us, more and more people are being sold at the moment than ever in those times. There's nothing wrong
with us wanting to do things well and build really good local churches. But we have orders. We are men and women under orders. Yeah, they are. Go disciple the nations. And that's what we need to live with. In the bookstore next door, there are two books. I'll just show you quickly. This is called Gaining by Losing. Ray made a point this morning. Stop holding on to people. Give them away because you will be blessed. That's what this book's about. There are only two copies, and I've got one of them in my hand. But every pastor, I think, should read this. There are some chapters that are, but anyway, fabulous. Stirring. Be open with your people. As soon as you see someone rising in the ranks, prepare them for what God's got for them. And you will see what God does. If you need this one, this has got to go back. And here's another one. Follow Me, David Platt. Another young man, just like a McClellan, planted a church, saw it grow massively. Wonderful gift. Lovely public gift. And then, as he tells you, he got disillusioned with churches. This is what it's about. Every year we just recreate what we do. How can we do children's work better? How can we do that better? How do we make our hall better? And so he laid it all down. And if I remember correctly, he went off to India and he joined a little church with his young family in a village. And he said, God, teach me what real church is about. Fabulous book. If you've got a bit stale when it comes to local church, there's a great book next door in the bookstore. The author there, J.D. Greer, he says this. Ah, there's Lincoln and McClellan. Do you know that? I don't think I finished the story. Lincoln wrote eventually to McClellan, and he said to him, I'm taking away your commission. Generals are meant to fight. It's the story of the talents. He's got everything. But he was meant to fight. And J.D. Greer says this, many skills make for an effective minister, but there is one without which everything else we do is useless. Make disciples. So it doesn't matter what you do, how great the building is, how great your logo is, how great all these things are. Without making disciples, it all adds up to naught. Apart from that, all the money we raise, the buildings we build, the ministries we organize, the sermons we preach, the songs we write won't move the mission forward. Without that one thing, we fail. And if I have one hope for Regions Beyond, it would be right through our ranks. Every man, woman, and child, young person, is discipling somebody else. Is investing in someone else. Every church community has 3-4 young women and young men serving, being trained up so that we get them through the ranks for all God's called us to do. It frightens me to death that I think in any way we could become a McClellan church. That it all looks so good. That lovely mustache and everything. I mean, you go on the web, they are just pictures of him. This pose, this sword, that look, my wife. And the next thing comes this telegram. I'm taking away your command. They say in the newspapers in Washington, 100,000 men wept that day. We've got to be willing to fight. I don't know if this is any relation to Trevor, J.D. Payne. The mission of God is not about a church planting movement. Oh, please, let it never be about a church planting movement. But rather about a disciple-making movement that leads to the multiplication of new churches across the people group or population segment, resulting in the transformation of societies. We must not only ask ourselves the question, how many churches did we plant last year? But we need to ask, how many disciples were made in planting those churches? And are they now obeying all that Christ commands? I was in India recently. I went to visit Gary and Nikki, who served us so fantastically. Where's Gary? Right at the back. They went over to serve the churches there because I was struggling to get to India as much as I would love. And so great to have the Indian leaders here, some of them anyway, Nigel and Des, Colin and Navaz. We've also got Abdullah and Namrata as well, who are based at Beulah now, given to us from Pune. You're going to get many more. I think it's already happening for giving me that young couple. And while I was there, we brought in some new elders. And I won't forget that message, Gary, where he said, it's time for us to start picking some fights. And I saw all the Indian eyes were about so big. But he went on to explain, as churches, surely it can't be about Sunday mornings. Oh, last week's worship was excellent. Not as good this week, but your message was better. Thank you. See you next Sunday. Gary said, come on, let's go pick some fights. Let's go change the world. Let's go transform the nations. I haven't a clue what time I started. What a lovely feeling. This message is about what has God put in your hand? Because, oh, I keep missing out parts of the story. This is very exciting. There's the replacement, after a few anyway. He didn't worry about uniforms. It was rugged. He didn't worry about popularity, but he was willing to fight. And the men followed him into battle. And the rest, as they say, is history. What do you have in your hand? I've heard many messages on this passage over my life as a Christian, the talents. I'm sure we all remember it. I probably didn't even need to read it. But how we get given, how things are entrusted to us. And I've looked at it in many different ways, and I've heard people explain it in many ways. But I'd love us tonight to understand that I believe that what he's talking about, what Jesus is explaining, is not about gifts or abilities, but about God-given opportunities. God-given opportunities. Just what Iona was saying a moment ago. I keep saying, Lord, I don't want this. And I go back, and he says, I want you there. It's an opportunity that God's given me, a time or set of circumstances that make it possible to do something. God puts us in those places. He takes Donna, and she writes to me and says, do you think I should go back to Burundi? And Donna will tell you I didn't answer, so she went. You think, what can I say? Donna, a single lady going into a place that's on the verge of civil war. She said to me, Steve, I must go. You think, wow, a God-given opportunity. And we celebrate that tonight. But here in this passage, the master, he calls his servants and he says, I'm leaving for a while. I'm taking what's mine. I'm entrusting it to you. I'm giving it to you. And to each one, he gives different amounts, as we know. To some five, another two. Here's one for you. According to their ability, as the Bible says, deliberate, very organized. And this is not a few copper coins, brothers or sisters. A talent is, what the commentators say, 20 years' wages. £1 million, I don't know. So it's something valuable. I'm going to come to that in a moment. What is entrusted to them is massive. It's no small thing. It's a well-known story that some of them take this wet, and you can imagine the servant looking and they're saying, God, are you, Master, are you sure? Me? This? And no sooner is the master down the track, the servant's out there saying, how can I take what you've put in my hand and make this work? And soon when the master returns, we hear those two stories. Two of them hear those fabulous, famous, desired words, good and faithful servant. Then we all desire that. But the other one, it's dire. Brothers and sisters, as we go forward, if we're going to fulfill what I believe God's calling us to do, what I believe God has put in me and many others here, that make me want to say, Heather, block your ears at this moment. I'm willing to go from continent to continent for this cause. We will have words later. But it is, it gets hold of you. And God gives you this opportunity. He puts it in your hand. Many have asked me, why did you go to Beulah Church? So I said, well, they actually got the best looking pastor in the whole of England. Hallelujah, amen. Where is he? He's hiding away, no doubt. Right down there. Oh, he's willing to put his hand up for that one. We had a long trip. I had a long trip to England, and I was all over the place, and one of my last places was Beulah. So I had one more day or so to tick off, and I thought, well, I haven't been to Beulah. It'll be lovely to go there, meet them. And so I go, and I think, okay, almost done. Head back to Dubai soon. And then God arrested my heart. I stood in that, behind the lectern, I almost said the pulpit, I looked over these people, and God just began to open my eyes to what he wants to do in this nation through Beulah. When you see what God entrusts, you say, God, no matter what it is, let me be faithful. Let me make 3 points from this passage very quickly. What's been entrusted is very valuable. General McClellan, for him, a nation's survival was put in his hands. And he procrastinated. We haven't got enough people. We need more armaments. We need the camp more organized. And you'd get telegrams from Lincoln. You read the story. It's frightening. And say, no, we can't cross the river yet and go in pursuit of the enemy. We're not ready. And the army grew and grew and grew. For Jesus, it was so different. In fact, so valuable was the task. Jesus was willing to lay down his life for it. The word used, entrusted, is a word I've wrestled with over the last weeks. Tried to understand it. I even contacted our dear friend John Colwell. I said, John, throw some light on entrusted for me. And he said, there's not much to add. And then he gave me a whole lot of things. He said, it's the same word that is used for the Father giving his Son. He entrusted the Son. He said it's a handing over. And if we are to become, which I hope, a true pioneering people, We need to embrace the fact that what we have is valuable and it's going to be costly. It's going to be costly. The message we have was one of hope and a future. It's pure gold. And it's been entrusted to us. It's been given. This weight, we've got to say, God. And there's not a morning, a day, an evening in a place like this. I'm not amazed at what God's doing. Say, God, are you sure about this? Yes. I own a story. It's just so beautiful. She's really worth chatting to. And it's an amazing story. Are you sure? I don't want to do this. I want to do this. And that's for all of us. So the first thing, what we've been entrusted is very valuable. Secondly, it's been given deliberately. In other words, if you look at it, the master looks at each servant and he says, to you, I want to give this opportunity. And to you, that one, and that one, and that one. Because of who I've made you, what I've put in you. And to you, here you go, that's yours. He's not more important than you, or the other way around. You're all of equal importance. Our issue is to be faithful with God entrusts to us and how quickly we can make it prosper. So thirdly, there's an expectation to work hard and prosper. All the Trekkies are going, woo-hoo. Some of you didn't get that at all. Don't worry, you'll be fine. But there's this expectation when God comes to us and he said, this is what I'm giving you. As we gather in this place now, what he's putting in us, what he's sharing with us, what he is entrusting to us, that we will go from here and do something with it. It's hard work. We had a meal together the night we arrived here, I think it was. And Trevor asked Heather a question about one of our children. And the tears went pew, because we're so far away. We've left children in the nations to follow the purposes of God. And it's not easy, it's costly. We have a granddaughter who's 3 months old and we get a WhatsApp message and we keep saying, send us more pictures. Real doting grandparents. But it's costly, brothers and sisters. But we have to work hard. We've been given, what we've been given is meant to multiply. I so love Trevor's faith. It's been such a joy to me over these days. Because he said, next time we'll be able to move that wall out there because we're going to need a lot more space. We're going to now do this and that. I'm trying to get through this evening. It means such a joy. But that's God's plan, brothers and sisters. What he's put in your church is he wants you to multiply it. The story of Noah finally gets through the flood and all the animals go their way and he drinks a little bit of wine and gets carried away. And then comes the next commission, go forth and fill the whole earth. And you think, wow, that's a big one. We're meant to multiply. My longing is when we gather here next time, we would have planted churches, 10 churches, I don't know, 15 churches. Could we do 20? And that not only do we see churches planted, but we see leaders who are investing in others, who are followed by a whole company of people. Not just, wow, my meeting was great on Sunday. I've got a whole lot more Twitter followers. Notice more people are listening to my messages. I'm making light of it, but hear me out. We are here to change the world. That's why we gathered. That's why we're gathered. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we gathered here next time, we said, okay, all of those who have been saved and added to the church through church planting over the last 2 years, would you stand? Wouldn't that be great? Just to see an army rise up, fruitfulness that we've multiplied. There is an expectation, brothers and sisters, to work hard and to see this work prosper. Not for the name of Regions Beyond. When I joined with Ray, when I felt God speak to me and say, reach out to him because you need him. I said to him, don't worry about the name. We'll come up with something else if we have to. There's no precious things about that. We've got a job to do. I need you. And he's quite right. He was one of the very first to believe our crazy story that we could plant a church in the mountains with the poorest of the poor and then go to the ends of the earth. What's it going to take, brothers and sisters? Three things. Ray mentioned them today in different ways. The first one, definitely risk. Are you ready for some risks? The Lord expected these servants to invest the talents he distributed in such a way as to produce gain. The talent, then, is something that can be invested, be risked, with the possibility of producing gain or loss. The decision to risk is wholly the servant's. You feel the weight of that? You feel the weight of what God's giving us, and he's saying, I'm putting it in your hand. Now it's over to you. And you might feel, Lord, how on earth? Well, we sang about it earlier. It was brought out. I will never leave you or forsake you. I will be with you to the very end. Don't worry when you stand before kings, because I will give you the words. Fabulous. The servant can choose to take a risk, as the first two servants did, or they can utterly refuse to do so and lose everything, as the third servant did. Overcoming fear. This poor third servant, he doesn't get a lot of sympathy. In my nation of South Africa, we have a beautiful saying that I'm afraid can't be translated. It's a feeling. You see, it's words, but it's a feeling. It's called, ach, shame. And it's a way of when somebody goes through a tough time that you can empathize with them. You can this empathy just comes out and you enter their suffering, their hardship. But there's none of it with this third servant. I was afraid. You shouldn't be afraid. You're a child of God. Who suffers with fear here? I do. Every time I step up on those stairs, I think, oh God. I feel like Peter getting up on the, is it called the gunwale? Here we go again. Into the panic zone, as I call it. If you're not there, Lord, we're in trouble. God, Jesus said, I'll be with you. His love is perfect. Can't cast out all fear. He's right there. We can overcome the fears. The fear of, will I have enough to support my family right through if I now give myself to God? I can't give myself to God. I've got my mortgage to settle. When that's settled, then I will go. And it's fear that locks us up. God is able to do that. He is able to settle those things. And lastly, all we do is an investment unto the Lord. All that we do is wholly for the benefit of God. And every time we see this, even as we stand here and I look at all of you and I think, wow, this is quite something. We've always got to be in that place of saying, God, here you go. Look what you're doing. I'm so grateful to the musicians. Aren't they just fabulous here? I love music. I could watch these guys play all the time. Yes, thank you so much. I notice there's quite a rocker in the back corner over here on the red guitar. Dave, it's fabulous to see the expressions of it. But you know what? Our worship has been so full of Jesus. Oh, it's fantastic. This morning, Craig, thank you so much, wherever you are. Fabulous. This evening, Max, just great. Everything we do for God. There's no profit share. There's no share of the spoils or anything. We do it. And then he says, when you've been faithful with this great opportunity, did you see what he does? He gives you more. You go to a higher level and you're given greater opportunities to think, ah, Iona, this is just the beginning. There's so many others here. I met a lady earlier. I think if I remember correctly, your name is Rosie. She works with people in the massage parlors, and that. Is that right, Rosie? Did I get that right? I heard you during the meeting. There's your hand. Other people, great pioneers. There's so many here. So many. And as we're faithful with that, and we think, hey, let me just be faithful with this one thing. God says, you've been faithful. Now I'll give you more opportunity. And so he stretches us. I love this quote. I'm going to end with this, especially those who've got to go collect children shortly. It may be a hard thing for an egg to become a bird. It is a jolly sight harder for it to learn to fly while it's still an egg. We are all like eggs today. We either must be hatched or go bad. C.S. Lewis. In us, we're birthing something. We're carrying something. For some, it's coming out. And we've got to look to God and say, God, breathe on us. We can't do it without you, and we never will. It's time to step out. Risk. Live dangerously. Take constant chances with your life and goods for his name's sake. That's Ray Steadman, a guy from last century in California. Pete, for those of you at the prayer meeting this morning, Pete said, it feels like God's taking us, Pete Vaughan from Dubai, God's taking us on a new journey. It's like going up Everest. You've got to pack differently for it. How you use what you've got, it's got to be packed. You've got to prepare differently. And if we can go from this place with that mindset, God, thank you. This is scary, but you'll be with us. And what you give me, you can trust me. I'm going to make it work. And with your grace, with your power, when you come, there won't be one or two or even five. There will be 10. 100% increase. Did you see those who profited both got 100%? Same rewards. But Lord, here it is. Step out. Risk. Live life dangerously. Take constant chances with your life and goods for his name's sake. Don't try and bottle up your life so as to hang on to it at all costs. If you do that, you will surely lose it. But surrender yourself to his cause again and again and again. I'll read the rest in a moment, but let me just say this. This is why I'm so grateful that we are such a multi-generational movement. Because when I see Ray step up here as he did this morning, and it truly was dropped on him the day before yesterday, that sadly Fuzzy wouldn't be with us. I saw him step up with such passion. And Ray, it's again and again and again. So grateful to God. But when you do that, this is the way to find life. That is the way to Watch for his coming. Having risked yourself to become a Christian, now risk yourself again and again as opportunities arrive. Live dangerously. Or that also could be written, love dangerously. Wow. We're about a great task. And God will keep adding to us and keep stretching us, keep bringing people, and we've got to keep living with the same simplicity, humility. Say, God, thank you. Okay, here we go. Let's work harder. Let's make this profitable. I don't know where you are tonight. Sorry, I didn't handle that story very well. I kept coming and going. But it's a frightening story. He's a man who looks everything the part from the outside. From that way, and this way, and that way. And then it's all taken. Won't you close your eyes for a moment? Maybe let's stand. You need to stretch your legs. Thank you for being so patient. Never give an African the late session. When you put your hands out in front of you and close your eyes. When you do go collect your children in a moment, won't you please thank all the workers? We're being so well served. I saw pastors on the gate. I saw people I've met all over standing in those lovely jackets serving us. But stand before him right now. What opportunities has God put in your hand? Maybe you're here tonight and you think, Steve, I haven't been faithful with what God has given me. In fact, I've wasted years. I'd love to pray with you tonight because I want everyone to leave here knowing God's entrusted great things to me. Maybe it's just to serve one person. Or maybe it's to fill the abbey this week. Maybe it's to plant a church or a movement of churches. But to each one, according to his ability, it's been entrusted. For us to be all God wants us to be, it means every single one here being faithful with that which they stand in their hand right now. So, Father, I pray over us. I pray over my own life. And I pray, Lord, that here in this growing family, that you would find a faithful people. You would find a people willing to work hard and to multiply what you've entrusted to us. You've handed it over to us. And we're humbled by the thought. And Lord, I pray for those who are walking in fear. If you've been walking in fear, I wonder if you could just come out your seats right now. You know that it's worry about this or that, or concern about this. What about my children's education? What about these things? If you know that's you and it's holding you back from the purpose of God, don't be embarrassed because I will stand next to you knowing that it's a daily battle to overcome. But let's pray for one another, strengthen one another. But if you'd like to make your way, we'd love to pray with you and see you fully released today. I wanted to pray over the church leaders tonight, but I think we'll wait for another opportunity. I wonder if I could have the ministry team come out and just stand with these folks. I appreciate you serving us. Father, let us be faithful with what we've put in our hand. And Lord, may we disciple the nations just as you've instructed. And Lord, may we fulfill this great, great plan you have for us, that year after year we would stand here and see this grow and multiply, not because we want to see some stats on a website, but Lord, because you've instructed us to go forth and multiply. I pray, Lord, that this time next year, new communities of the Spirit would be born, actively discipling the nations, raising up more leaders, releasing more pioneers, men and women. Father, amen.